Let's fall in love with God.
Chapter 4. Critical Understandings About Intimacy.
The Dynamics of a Passionate Love Affair with God.
All you need is love. How to become intimately abandoned to God. And why shouldn't we fall in love with God?
Going on in.
Regeneration, that is, rebirth, makes the natural man a Christian, which deposits within him the very Spirit of God. God brings us out of bondage, not so that we may be out, but so that we may be brought in. God saves a criminal, not so that he can brag about it for the next 40 years, but so that he might become mature in his relationship with God. God takes him out of his bondage to selfishness so that he might lead that person into a life of relational wholeness and freedom. And the farther the man goes, the less he will want to talk about where he used to be. It is not the mark of spirituality when I talk at length about what I used to be. Today we magnify what we used to be and write books to tell the world about it. Paul said, "Those things ought not even to be mentioned among the people of God." Ephesians 5:12. God brought you out, but he does not leave you in limbo. He brought you out so that he might bring you in, and that is the will of God.
Three kinds of man.
If you are a natural man, no matter how well educated, how talented, how handsome, or how desirable you are, you do not know a thing about the heart and affections of God, and you do not know a thing about the spiritual life. You do not have the faculties to know it. If a man who is stone deaf sits reading while a Mozart symphony is playing, you would not blame him because he would rather read than listen to the music. He does not have the ability to enjoy the music. The ability you have in you to listen to the symphony is dead in him. If you were in an art gallery looking at paintings and there was a man completely blind sitting on the bench, you would not say, "Why is that dimwit sitting there? Why doesn't he get up and look at the paintings?" He does not have the ability to look at the paintings. The ability you have to look at paintings is dead to him. No matter who you are or how educated or religious you are, if you have not been regenerated, renewed, made over, brought to the light by the quickening revelation of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be intimate with God. You cannot know spiritual things at all. You can only know the history of spiritual things, and any enthusiasm you have for religion is in vain, for it is only an illusion.
Spiritual man.
Paul says that we Christians who are quickened to life are no longer estranged from God.
We have been released from the bondage of our past. We are free to move on into a passionately intimate relationship with God. There is nothing hindering us now. Carnal man. The carnal man is the immature Christian who does not go on or advance. He has slowed in his spiritual development or stopped altogether and is not controlled by the Holy Spirit, but rather by his own spirit. He continues without progress year after year, wandering spiritually. He swings on a pendulum back and forth or just wanders in circles, occasionally looking over his shoulder and remembering that he used to be a slave to evil. Then he goes to a prayer meeting or some revival, puts out his arms, and moves so close to God that he can almost touch him. But he is not going to push on into intimate relationship with God.
To continue without progress year after year is to develop a sort of chronic heart disease. Your heart becomes harder and harder as time passes. That is, your heart becomes closed to any new things.
An intense Christian.
I was actually one of those very intense Christians who avidly and faithfully served God at his church. Yet for decades, I was wandering around in circles, hoping that each time I circled around, I would be a little bit closer to God. Then one day, I was shocked out of my pew by the Spirit of God and realized that I needed to change my approach to God if I was ever to become the man of God I so desperately desired to be. All of my former training proved to be useful in my journey, and still is, but I wanted to see some grapes on my branch of the vine.
Extensive training.
When after several months God revealed what I was missing and how I could achieve this desire for God, I complained, "Why, God, did I have to waste 40 years of my life to get to this point?" He quickly quipped, "Are you better than Moses?" "No," I replied. He revealed to me that day that Moses' 40 years in the desert of Midian were necessary preparation for the work God had for him to do. Then I remembered as well, Jesus spent 30 years in preparation for a 3-year ministry, while we spend 3 years in preparation for a 30-year ministry. So if you are thinking it is too late or you are too old, think again.
Better late than never.
Wouldn't it be a great pleasure to you if you could give what is left of your life completely to God for his use? Is anyone too old to fall passionately in love? And to be sure, there is a very misleading message floating around out there. Give to God your best years, your youth. I have discovered that my best years are my older and wiser ones. How much better to be wise and available than to be immature and to be available? Jump in. Start now. If you sincerely tell God you want to surrender your all to Him, He will, if you let Him, walk you through the course and bring you to an intimacy with Him that staggers your imagination. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to His power which works within us. Ephesians 3:20.
Just do it. Let God.
So if you have wasted many years or even decades, consider jumping in right now. But in order to do this, even your spouse must take second place behind God. The Israelites wandered for 40 years until those children were grown to middle age and those women were dead. 40 years of it because the men had whimpered and said, "We can't go. It would cost us too much. We can't mistreat our families." Today we say, "We have to be with our families on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and all during the missionary convention. We have to be with our families. We can't take a chance of our children becoming juvenile delinquents or wandering from the path of the church we attend."
Diffuse it or obey.
Actually, in reality, the best way for a husband to save his family from a dull and fruitless religious experience is to show them an example of a man who loves God uncompromisingly. This is a man who remains intimate and true to God, even though it costs his most significant others, his spouse, family, and dear friends, some consternation or aggravation. Every man who stands in the shadows and slanders those who pursue and live the deeper spiritual life is slandering the very essence of the new birth. Even if you never choose to pursue a life abandoned to intimacy with God, He will be with you. He will not destroy you. Rather, He will simply let you die as you are. Aged spiritual infants.
Tozer writes,
"I refuse to be discouraged about anything, but it gives me a heavy heart to walk among Christians who have wandered for 40 years in the wilderness, not going back to sin, but not going into passion and intimacy with God, wandering in an aimless circle, sometimes a little warmer, sometimes a little colder, sometimes a little holier, and sometimes very unholy, but never going on."
Well-meaning, but misinformed.
Beliefs which were passed on to them from well-meaning and trusted people have been acquired and embraced. These beliefs have unwittingly kept myriad Christians from living their best life in faith and love. They have not been taught that intimacy with God is even possible. Further, they have been pushed away from God by their own guilt, shame, and fear for not living the holy lives their parents taught them.
No, not even one.
But the absolute truth is that there is no righteousness in them except the perfect righteousness of Jesus given to them at salvation. Jesus paid it all. But as long as one believes that a sinless life must precede intimacy with God, they can never become intimate. Guilt, shame, and fear are the very emotions which keep us distant from anyone we love. This is especially true with God. Intimacy is the only thing that will produce a more and more holy life. When one becomes intimate with God, sin actually becomes repulsive. So until you deal with your guilt, shame, and fear, it is almost certain that you will live and die a spiritual failure. This is a terrible waste. Behavior management. Behavior management requires control, either self-control or other control. In rehab centers the world over are those who mandate behavior management. We are effective in getting the patient sober, but shortly after they are released, the stresses of life cause them to relapse. An experiment in Portugal in recent years has shown results that far exceed our rehabilitation centers in terms of sustained sobriety. Their statistic exceeds all institutions of rehabilitation combined by 900%. Their experiment lays as its foundation the fact that it is loneliness that drives most people to their addictive substance or sexual obsessions. The cure is not in one developing self-control. If that were possible, they never would have been addicted in the first place. The cure lies in developing healthy relationships.
Relationship, the best medicine.
Instead of abandoning the released rehab patients, they are plugged into the community and given emotional support and a way to make a respectable living. They are motivated by healthy relationships to live productive lives in the community. This is what Christianity should look like. In the Christian way, salvation is the beginning point of the journey. At that moment, God places the organs within which can love Him. But the pursuit of intimacy with God must at some point cease to be striving to achieve it and begin to be relaxing in it. Even Christians who feel the loneliness of rejection in their community fall prey to addictions of all sorts. The solution to addictive behaviors, sex, substance, or service, is in the embrace of unconditional and supportive love.
Tozer writes,
I'm glad God is good and kind. Failures can even crawl into God's arms, relax, and say, Father, I made a mess of it. I'm a spiritual failure. I haven't been out doing evil things exactly, but here I am, Father, and I'm old and near the end of my life, and I'm a failure.
Graceful, not gracious.
Our kind and graceful Heavenly Father will not say to that person things like, I don't want to talk to you, or I'm disappointed with you, or I am tired of your messy life. As Graham Cook put it so succinctly, God is never disillusioned with me because he never had any illusions about me in the first place. He knows that I am weak and foolish and have a history of messing up. The individual has simply failed to reach his potential, at least spiritually. Even if thus far we have failed to reach our potential, our destiny and our great success will be to develop a passionate intimacy with God. Paul, the man of God, wrote, No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That foundation is his unconditional love. John 3:16-17.
Inflammable.
If you step back from your religion, bondage to its creeds, and consider the teachings of Jesus, it makes sense that virtually everything of substance can and will be burned up. However, the one thing you cannot burn is the spirit, relationships. Even when our loved ones die, we are still in relationship with them. So when we become intimate with God, His Spirit enables us to develop relationships with virtually anyone and everyone. As we love others like Jesus does, there is a strong chance that some will respond to His loving call to them into relationship with Him for themselves. And these relationships are the only thing that won't burn up. The Spirit that has been redeemed by faith in the blood of Jesus will never be burned up. And this is how we store up treasures in heaven.
Love is a choice.
However, keep in mind that Jesus did not ever, nor did God ever, force anyone to believe in Jesus or God, let alone to be forced into a relationship with Himself. And so neither should we. Actually, neither can we. Unfortunately, some Christians become so possessed with saving people from hell that they try to force everyone around them to become Christians. My own mother alienated herself and our entire family from her brother and sisters and their families by trying to force them to get saved. She even criticized their religions because she was so convinced of the way of Christianity. Fortunately for me, God revealed Jesus' way of unconditional love so that I did not make that same mistake. To draw anyone to someone you love, in this case God, you must love them enough that they want to know and love the people you do. Again, in this case, God.
Blameless and shameless.
Thank God you are going to make it. But do you want to make it with God distant from you, or would you rather be up close and intimately personal with Him? Are you tired of carrying guilt and shame and possibly fear? Are you tired of confusing sermons and lectures that keep you away from the love, joy, and peace Jesus promised? It is the will of God that you should enter into the very presence of God, commune constantly with His Holy Spirit, and go about your business with His constant companionship. God relationships are never tiring. Actually, the heart of man in Christ becomes the temple, dwelling place, of the Holy Spirit, like the ancient Holy of Holies in Israel. In the image of God. The image of God is this. You can consider that our body is like the walls of the worship place, its structure. The mind is the outer court where we contemplate God with our thoughts. The soul is the inner court or holy place, the seat of our emotions, where we develop affection for God and desire to have His presence within us. The heart is the holy of holies of our being, into which we invite God and surrender our wills to His. Our heart, not our head, makes emotional choices which create relationships.
Heart, soul, mind, body.
In the image of God, we have a heart, soul, mind, and body. With the heart, we make choices, our will. With the soul, we feel and have love and all other emotions, our compassion. With the mind, we think of how to express our feelings toward God, others, and ourselves, our rationale. And with our body, we use our voice, body language, and senses to communicate with other beings, or expression. So when we invite God into our heart, or Holy of Holies, and let Him make the choices for us, His compassion, His thoughts, and His expressions, words or deeds, handle each situation we face. The beauty of this similitude to the Creator is that in union with Him, there is a meshing of our fabrics, or spirits, into a new creation.
Fused together with God.
This understanding helped me realize that new does not mean the old has to be gone, but take God's image, me, and mesh it with God Himself, and the being becomes new when every aspect of my personhood is fully energized with the God fabric to which it has been meshed. Fiberglass becomes a new creation when liquid resin is meshed with soft but strong fabric. Both the original substances are still present, but together they make a material from which myriad things can be fabricated, which could not have been made from either one by itself.
A new purpose.
Once we have been transformed into a new creature, we are automatically set apart for a new purpose. And God has declared that we are as holy as His Son, and therefore fit to continue Jesus' work on earth. That is, we can now unconditionally love all people, and by that love, His love, compel them to want to be made new as well. This is the good news of the gospel. This is not about religion. It is about relationship. An interesting fact is that every religion has at its highest level some kind of union with their Creator. It is not about religion, a bondage to creeds and traditions. It is about living loved by God and loving Him.